I have.
Okay, we're ready.
I have provided each of you gentlemen with the now expired ordinance prohibiting the accumulation of waste material and prohibiting other nuisances in the county of Kane, Missouri. If you turn to the next to last page of that document, you will see that it was signed originally on the 17th day of February of 2004. There were several public hearings held with the public and the county commission at that time, which was Mr. Pennell, Mr. Hershend, and Mr. Swan. And as you can see in section 14, the ordinance was set to sunset on December 31st, 2006. I've also provided you with a copy of minutes of November 27th, 2006, where the, I believe it was at that time that the nuisance ordinance was renewed. Yes, it says renewal of nuisance ordinance. And
can I interrupt just to ask a clarifying question?
Okay.
What document are you looking at? I was looking at this front document you had attached.
Right. Now I'm looking at the minutes. Back.
Okay, but the minutes on the first one says it sunsetted December 31st, 2006.
Correct.
How did it go beyond that?
The minutes that are attached here extended.
We had a public hearing.
Did you?
Well, it says renewal of ordinance in it. It was in an ordinance.
Next page.
In a public meeting.
The motion passed by a vote of 3, Pennell yay, Hershend yay, and Strahan yay. There's a page and a little over on the renewal of the nuisance ordinance.
Well,
I remember the day that was here. I remember the opposition that stood up. I remember the people that came in support of it. There was some concerns at that meeting about some changes needed to be made. In those things that were addressed, one of the things was that a commissioner didn't have to visit the site. That was a promise made by Mr. Pennell that one of the commissioners, mainly himself because he was a supporter. Bob, you were there. You know this.
Well, yes. Okay.
That's right.
When did you have the public hearing again?
The public hearing was on the 27th day of November of 2006, which is prior to December 31st, 2006.
Where
when it
does
expired.
It say there was a public hearing?
I don't know that it says public hearing, but they did hold a public hearing. And do you have the?
I have everything you've got. Gave me.
Okay. It says renewal of nuisance ordinance.
Yeah.
They called on the public. They had several people speak. I didn't prepare the minutes, so it says Commissioner Hershend made a motion to extend the nuisance ordinance as written for a period of 4 years from today. Presiding Commissioner Pennell seconded the motion, taking the ordinance to 2010 and opened the issue for discussion.
Okay, let me ask my question a little differently. On this ordinance, it says basically it's sunsetted with no extension ability in this wording of the 2004-2006, okay? Then it shows it got extended, but there's no public hearing. I guess what I'm asking is, the public hearing, when did we say we were going to do a public hearing again?
Well, okay, if you look in section...
Okay, hold on just a second. First, in looking at the minutes that you have, Bob, that I'm reading here, it does show some members of the public speaking.
Yes.
And that's incorporated. The first question is, was this advertised, I wonder, as a public hearing? And I think I'm hearing you say yes.
It's my understanding that it was.
Okay.
And also, if I read, at least in the minutes that you just gave us, the prior presiding commissioner is stating that Missouri law had provided that, in fact, you would come back?
No.
I'm sorry. He says, the ordinance was passed in February of 2004 and added there is a sunshine law requiring this issue be brought before the public again before the end of 2006.
What he means is a sunset provision
okay.
in the ordinance.
Okay, that was certainly confusing. So there was a sunset provision within the ordinance itself.
Section 14.
Section 14. Now, I'm sorry, go back again, Jim.
Well, I just, I,
You're wondering how we come to this date.
No, I guess what I'm trying to figure is, statutorily, we could just make the, we could extend the extend our nuisance ordinance and go on.
No, you don't extend it.
Just create a new one.
Create a new one. You've put in this ordinance that this current or any future Taney County Commission may not amend this ordinance without first conducting a public hearing on the amendment. So therefore, you're not going to amend or extend this ordinance without a public hearing. So what you do is you just draft a new one. It can be identical to this, but you don't have to have a public hearing.
Okay. That's what I guess what I was trying to get to. Okay, thank you.
It's not.
You can go back to your order now, Bob. You answered my question.
Bob, this wording in here was just not caught in the approval of the minutes. There's not a sunshine law. It was sunset, right?
There's a sunset provision, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, and it was wrote in this minute, sunshine
no,
law.
No, it says.
Right?
It has to be reworked.
Yes. And that's it should have been.
We need to.
We need to rework it.
Go ahead, Bob. I completely derailed your entire
that's okay.
Program.
He's back.
I apologize.
He's back.
I was going to cover that territory. So it has sunset on November 26th of 2010. Section 13 does say that there would be a public hearing, but it's not required by law to do that. And if you do a new ordinance, and they can't bind a future commission. As Mr. Strahan said, the commission at the time made some promises concerning Section 13 and regarding the visit to sites of county commissioners, and that would be in Section 11. This whole notice to abate, the process needs to be shortened, tightened up, whatever you want to say. They don't need to be given that kind of time to correct. I mean, you can look at it, but, I mean, it starts off with a notice, and then they get 45 days, and then after that they get another 90 days if they do the 14, within 14 days, the plan to clean it up. So that Section 11 needs to be tightened up. There's some other minor things that need to be tightened up in the ordinance.
Can I ask a question to the two commissioners? Specifically regarding the concept of a nuisance ordinance, do you believe we need to post and have a public hearing on a new nuisance ordinance, or do you believe that we can conduct it in a normal manner without posting specifically a public hearing on nuisance ordinance? How would you like to proceed, I guess, is the question that I'm asking to the commissioners.
Well, from the meeting that we had,
back in 06.
Okay. And I know we may not be bound by that, but Bob, you'd attest to this, that it was implied that we would have another public hearing before we went forward. Because there was lots of talk about some changes in this thing.
Oh, I understand.
And there was a lot of people, I mean,
the commissioners themselves made representations to the crowd at Kirbyville when we had the meeting in the school, the hearing in the school, that, and they were being attacked pretty heavily by certain factions there, that they would have a hearing prior to amending or extending the ordinance. They did make that promise
okay.
at that time.
And then that was brought up in this meeting here, too.
So you want to have a public hearing?
I don't want to, but I think it's the thing to do. It was a promise to the public.
I'm just telling you that there's no statutory requirement.
And technically, you're stating that the comments that were made by the commission at the time were if they amended or extended this nuisance ordinance, they would have another hearing.
Correct.
Okay.
I understand.
And they've actually written in that ordinance that they would do that.
Right, and Section 13 specifically says they cannot amend or extend without a public hearing.
But if they had never had a public nuisance ordinance, you'd be coming in today as a new commission saying, do we want to pass a public nuisance ordinance? And you could do that without a public hearing is all I'm saying. I'm not saying whether you're honor bound to have a public hearing because prior commissioners.
I'm going to put a provision in 10 years, because I probably won't be a commissioner then, that all the commissioners have to talk backwards for 2 days straight and walk around in gym shorts. and make it part of the ordinance if they amend or extend the existing ordinance. So
it's obviously not binding on a future commission.
Correct.
Either, but
okay, so I guess my question is, are we going to have a public hearing? Are we going to have a public hearing? Yes or no? I guess the question is, do we want a nuisance ordinance in some form or fashion?
Now you're talking. What does the public think about the nuisance ordinance that you all enacted, not you all, but prior county commission acted in the past and then was extended? Has it been something that has been well received? Is it something that's been poorly received? I honestly don't know, so I'm asking that question for
I'll,
some.
I'll give you my interpretation, and then Danny, the people, I think we're only seeing a majority of the extreme cases, which is what this nuisance ordinance has been. Yes, sometimes there's been neighbors fighting against neighbors on little things, but for the most part, we're seeing the major things. The biggest complaint that I have heard is the ordinance takes too long to enforce, and when it's time to enforce, it's a slap on the wrist at worst. It's the process is way too long and just disjointed. It doesn't flow well, so we don't get resolution quickly. And that's probably the biggest complaint I've heard on the nuisance ordinance.
It's not that they're opposed to us having one. It's that if we have one, we ought to enforce it, and it's such a cumbersome process that it's not
right.
Very effective.
Exactly. And the provision they put in there that the county commissioner must look at these sites and all that, that really slows down the entire process. You know, and before it expired, Ron, what we did is we sent somebody out to take pictures to speed the process up so they could just present to us pictures of what it looks like. So then we could say, are we sending a letter, not sending a letter? I just think if we're going to do a nuisance ordinance, we got to try to shorten the period, make it real clear, concise, and what's the enforcement? What is the, so to speak, the bite behind it? What's the penalty?
Enforcement is key. That's why I said Section 11 needed to be tightened up.
Correct.
Also, I've provided you with another ordinance, which unfortunately is not in effect in our county, but is in many first-class counties, and that's where I think you have it.
I don't think I have it.
272. It says that in certain first-class counties, and it doesn't include us in that group, that if they violate any of these statutes that would be a misdemeanor, they can actually be fined up to $1,000 with a civil fine per violation by the county counselor. So you wouldn't even have to involve the prosecutor in the situation. However, the quickest way of doing these, absent that applying to our county, it applies to Greene County, Jasper County, and many other first-class counties. The quickest way to do it currently is to have the prosecutor do it as a misdemeanor. And you know what problems we went through having that occur. When I do it as an injunction, I go and I get a TRO, I get a preliminary injunction, and then I get a full injunction. And if they violate that injunction, which is a mandatory injunction to clean it up and to keep it cleaned up and not in violation of the ordinance, then it's contempt of court and they can be fined or even jailed. Well, the judges are reluctant to jail anyone. They're even reluctant to fine them. But I did do that in a few cases. I went all the way through, got an injunction, and I'll give one example. There was a place on 160 Highway. I got an injunction, and he cleaned it up. He cleaned everything up and brought it down to another site down in Venice on the Lake.
Right.
And just put it all in the yard down there. So we started another procedure down there. Well, we got an injunction down at that site, and it got cleaned up. And then within a few months, it was back the way it was. And the case was already over. It had been cleaned up. It's a nightmare to do it by an injunction. You heard the architect board say they didn't like using the injunction. It was too unwieldy.
Correct. Couple more thoughts for you two gentlemen. And City of Branson just renewed their nuisance ordinance, which is very restrictive, very, you know, I know it wouldn't fly in the county. Okay, but they have just renewed their nuisance, so the city of Branson is.
Are you trying to say it was overboard, Mr. Trump?
No, I'm not saying that at all, sir. I just say, and then the other thing I would say is Hollister has something. Now I know that they're working on. They've asked the collector if the collector, you know, a couple things is what happens when it's time to clean up the property. Like City Hollister is now cleaning up abandoned properties or properties that are left in disarray. They're cleaning them up at city expenses, and traditionally they put a lien on the property. But if it's property sold in foreclosure, they never see their money because they're in third or fourth position. There is a provision in statutes that says that the collector can put it, it could be placed on the tax bill as a tax. And so I know that Hollister and Branson are talking to the collector about that. My biggest thing is the quickest, I believe we should have it, first of all. Second thing is we need to find the quickest resolution to cleaning this mess up. And if that is stepping in and cleaning it up as a county and then charging back the citizen, or a quick legal process to get to get resolution quicker, that's probably the biggest complaint. But I still think we should have a nuisance ordinance.
Right.
I would suggest that under one of the statutes, we can also put in something regarding the rights of way. And I suggest that we include that in here. If somebody's blocking a road controlled by the county, it's already a misdemeanor, but I would suggest putting it in here.
Jim, the biggest complication that we have is the record of nuisance cases that have been completed. I think even Mr. Pennell, who was a big proponent of this, would say that I think he even asked the question how many had been resolved.
And very little.
It was, I mean, the percentage was very, very little. The fact that we went and had P&Z do the pictures after this approval, there was P&Z done pictures of properties. There would be as many as 12 or 15 brought before the county commission with pictures. Some of them looked like everyday neighborhoods with just what you would have as an everyday neighborhood. One example was a restaurant that was building a little building on it and had a picture of the building and some cars sitting in front of the restaurant where there were people in the, actually inside eating, and they used them as abandoned cars. So the abuse of this system didn't help.
Right.
So I think that we should at least put it as a public meeting hearing on our regular agenda. Like that's the way this thing went off. It was advertised, and they came in on a Monday morning and spoke. And there was several people that spoke at the meeting. And they voiced some of approval, some that didn't want it in the first place spoke. And so at least we've heard the public, and we can establish something shorter and better than this is. There's some things in here that need to be resolved.
Well, before we have the public hearing, I would like to see a draft of
what
we're proposing. Because the people's complaints, if they're going to complain, they're going to complain of what it was. Mm-hmm. And so if we are truly trying to improve on what we had, we probably need to have a draft available to people to see where the changes are.
Right.
Some of these, like two or more motor vehicles that are unregistered or whatever, I mean, there are covenants and restrictions to cover some of that stuff. I mean, it's unsightly. But, I mean, I don't know that it's a big problem for the county because somebody has two cars that are...
How about seven?
You're going to ask me to pick an arbitrary number, but when they have 30, at one point, DNR has a problem, and Section 260 would apply. And DNR sometimes does enforce this stuff and sometimes doesn't.
I mean, I talked to a citizen yesterday who says that they have filed nuisance complaint last year, okay? We were starting the process, took pictures, the ordinance sunsetted. Since then, he's added a boat, an RV, and seven or eight more cars, okay? At what point, I mean, because that citizen right now is in limbo. Do I have to start over the process? I said, yes. He said, at what point does it become a junkyard? I mean, at what point do DNR rules step in?
Well, I have to look, but it's either 35 or I think it's 35 cars, but I'm not sure. I'd have to look.
I could read the letter that we got this morning that pertained to a certain subdivision, and the people in that said that the nuisance ordinance wasn't implemented in their subdivision because there was friends to the commission that lived in there. So, I mean, there's lots of things in here that we need to clean up and look at. I am in total agreement with you that we need to have a new commission. Bob needs to present an approval a document that would be approved by the commission before we have the public hearing.
So but I need to know what you want in there.
Yeah. I mean, we're having a work session on it, but this is going to be a lengthy work session.
Well, it's not going to be lengthy today.
No, but I'm talking about...
This is to present you the problem in the ordinance for you to look at.
I asked for you to initiate something so that I could start. We could start looking at this because I'm getting calls on it. Talked with a gentleman yesterday, and there's two areas of great concern, and I'm going to go take a look at them just because I said that I would, and I want to move forward with that. But we don't have anything that we can...
Well, you have some recommendations right now that you've brought up.
Right. Shortening the process, and everybody's agreed with that.
So that's something you could implement.
Right. I've talked about, you know, if they put stuff in the county right away or if
we can make that change in there.
Blocking a county-controlled road.
Well, what about I thought something interesting, and I never did know before, that you could implement a fee or a something for, you said $1,000, that other counties did.
Yeah, they specifically made an
ordinance. You're county councilor, aren't you, sir?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Then that is exactly what I thought that we might be able to implement with...
We would need legislation, though. We would need them to add us. I mean, the state legislature has added Greene County to that list, so Greene County has it.
If you're going to do it, that's what we have to do to make it effective. We have to request that our legislative body... include us in something like this to where we don't have a drawn-out situation. We have another attorney hired to take care of part of these issues, and we're turning into more of an expense all the time and a drain on the county other than a beneficial, effective way to handle nuisance. And I don't agree with all the stuff now. The stuff that's, if it's state statute, we've got backing for it. Something that's wrote in here by the county commission as an ordinance is argumentative to the public when we have a public hearing.
What do you mean it's argumentative?
Well, if they don't agree with it, it's wrote by a county commission.
In other words, they can try to get us to change it or
right.
not change it.
Right.
Is what he meant, I think.
But, well, that's exactly what I meant.
If we adopted the standards of DNR under Chapter 260 and whatever other chapters, if they said 35 cars and we said it was illegal to have more than 35 cars, we would only be saying what state statute is. We'd have to be more restrictive than that to make sure that we pass muster. So if we said 32 cars would be okay. I'm not saying it should be 32 cars. Maybe it should be 7. Maybe it should be 2. I'm not saying what I agree with, but I'm just saying we need to be more restrictive than the 35 or whatever
right.
the DNR standard
Those things are legitimate, and Bob, and that's what we're looking for you to bring forward to the county commission as a recommendation. We've got something here. You bring, and you'll hear from different ones of us, I guess individually, what we don't like, and you can either put that in there or implement something else or leave it the same. But at least we have something to go by, and when the public comes in, we've got a document that we can present. Do you?
I agree, Danny. But I think what we need to do is, Bob, you just need to start putting down your suggestions that you've brought up, then email it back to all of us, and then maybe we sit down with you individually and say, could you add this and this, and then we have another work session at the end of that in, say, 2 weeks or so, and go through all the suggestions you've heard, and then we'll have a draft at that point.
What about the legislative deal, though?
It's you, unless
that's a long process.
Unless you can get an amendment stuck on another bill right now up at Jefferson City.
We can't add Taney County to Greene County and Jasper County
There's a process to go through.
You have to introduce a bill as a piece of legislation and or an amendment. It has to go through the committee process. Then it has to go through the entire legislature. To get it into a priority stack where that could move forward, we should have started last November.
Right.
Okay.
But it would be good for an amendment.
But it'd be good for next year.
It'd be good for next year. Yeah. And what has been accomplished since this was initiated, we have got the time to do it, to make it effective.
And we need to look. I mean, if in fact there is something we're in, if you want to latch on to language that already exists for another county, mm-hmm. if there is a place, they still can. Theoretically, stick an amendment onto a bill that would include us, but it has to be a piece of legislation that is like legislation. In other words, they're already addressing this for someone else, where it will be a fit. But is it still a possibility? Yes. Do our guys have the ability to get that done? Possibly.
If they want to get it done.
Well, we've got three representatives, don't we?
What did you say, Rick?
I try to read those, Ron, all the time, and I'm pretty sure that there are two counties that are attached onto one of those bills already. I want to say Buchanan and one other one, but I'm not sure.
My suggestion, Dan, would be to find your language, call one of your state representatives, and say, we'd like to be added to this bill. Is that possible?
I would like to do that as a county commission, not as one.
Find me the language that you're interested in having us look at. I don't know what.
Well, I would like to take the others that are on first-class counties.
Oh, so it's the one, and I thought I had provided it, and I can get it real
you think
quickly.
So, Ron?
272, it's chapter 67.272, and evidently I didn't provide it.
No,
I thought I had.
You didn't provide a copy of that number.
Okay, and it says that violation that would be a misdemeanor can be, you know, basically fined, civil fined by the county councilor up to $1,000. Which is the amount of a Class A misdemeanor as well. And it specifically listed counties of the first class, non-chartered counties of the first class, with a population between this and this, and it was several different populations, and at the top of it, it had the counties that those populations described.
And I will wager that they're much bigger than this county.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Jasper, Greene. I would say they probably are.
But
larger. I'd have to look at them, but I believe you're right.
Yeah. Okay. One of the things that I would like to emphasize is we spend, now whether you're for or against this issue, we spend lots of dollars in this county to keep our county clean on the county side of things. Mm-hmm. We have two free trash days each year to keep our roadways and our public image clean for the people that come in here from other areas wanting to buy real estate, wanting to do things. Also, the tourism that come to this area that take everyday road trips, and you don't think that they do much of that. They drive all over this county looking at the area and the beauty and everything else. And so it's a beneficial part of that part of it. And if we are promoting that and spending tax dollars, then we should have a nuisance ordinance that was effective. It doesn't have to be so strategically rote that it affects everyday life
right.
for the average citizen, but it does need to be rote to where it is effective, and it doesn't need to be 6 years and three cases solved. Does that make any sense to the commission? And if we're not interested in doing that, and I'm not saying that I'm a proponent or against it. What I'm saying is if we're not interested in doing that, let's don't have cleanup days. Let's don't spend tax dollars doing things that we do.
Right.
So...
And if you're going to have an ordinance, I'm not saying whether you should or you shouldn't. That's not a legal function. But if you're going to have one, you ought to have the most effective one, that you can
that's
have
the way I look at it.
To enforce. And obviously those counties, although larger counties, are counties that adopted nuisance ordinances and wanted the ability to effectively enforce them. And they found that, as the architect board has, that injunction is a very unwieldy tool. They've also found that prosecutors are less than, shall we say, enthusiastic about prosecuting nuisance violations. I don't care what county you're in. So, therefore, they came up with this scheme of having the county councilor fined with a civil fine up to $1,000, which is the amount of a misdemeanor. So it's not different than the punishment that would come by the prosecuting attorney, but it provides an alternative to the prosecutor so that it'll actually, somebody with some enthusiasm or someone you can ignite to have some enthusiasm would be after it.
Jim, I want to ask you a question.
How's the fine imposed? Who makes the decision to impose the fine?
Those are all questions that I have, and I intend to get in touch with these counties. It does not state in the statute. I have looked for cases, and there are no cases after the statute, and there are no attorney general's opinions that I have found underneath the statute. It is a relatively new statute.
No comment. Oh, you're going to have a question first?
Well, what I was going to do is ask you, Jim, that the city of Hollister and Branson, which you brought up,
mm-hmm.
It's their ordinance on their dime. Do you understand what my
question is?
Are
they paying for the enforcement of it?
Are they paying for the enforcement of the cleanup and all that? Is it on their dime? Because if it's on the county's dime, we already pursue at a high dollar.
I have the ordinance emailed to me. I didn't look at that specific part of it.
Do you understand what I'm asking on that part of it?
Because yes, sir.
We're talking about countywide versus citywide. And if they're making any attempts to do that, and the reason they're doing that is for exact reasons I said, it's tourism area, and they don't want places to look.
Right. I don't know the answer to that.
Well, could we find that out? I mean, would that be something?
I can forward the ordinances to Bob and let him look into that when he does his draft work. So I guess, are we agreeing that we want Bob to write up a new draft with some recommendations? He'll email it to us. Then we'll individually get with Bob, go through some specifics if we have them, and and reconvene with a new meeting a couple weeks from now to talk about going through the draft of the ordinance before we have a public hearing.
That's what I'd like to do. And we don't need it in a motion, but I think that's direction.
Okay. Then Mr. Presiding, I have no further questions.
I'm not interested if we're not going to enforce it. All it is something to be a drain on Taney County taxpayer dollars. And we have went through the budget. We know what the tight times are in the situation. If we are not willing to enforce what we implement, then I'm not interested in implementing it. I've given two directions here, why we should and why we shouldn't.
Boone, Cass, Jasper, Jefferson, and Green counties are the counties.
What's in Cass County?
That's Harrisonville, Missouri, south of Kansas City, and straight across on 7. It was where Gary Mallory was from.
Is it?
And Jefferson is
Blue Springs and all that area.
South of there.
But heavily populated areas.
Relatively so.
Well.
They're going to have to be first-class counties unless they're a tourist destination like we are.
Right.
Right.
Well, unless they have the valuation from what we have that pumped them up.
Right.
Do you think Don...
Bob, the language that would be needed to accomplish what it is that Danny wants to see through legislation, can we contact one of these other counties to see what the language was that was given to their state reps or their senator and forwarded? I see what was passed. That may or may not be what the initial bill was, but
all they'd need to do is add the population of our first-class non-charter county to this ordinance, to this statute.
Will you put together the language that would be necessary and then forward that to our representatives and state senator?
Sure.
after we've approved that?
After you've approved it.
Doesn't that make sense, gentlemen?
Yes. Yes. Jim, are you sleeping again?
I'm trying to write down all the direction you're giving Bob. I'm about ready to turn the page over, so. I started writing things, so.
I mean, basically it says the county commission of any county of the first classification without a charter form of government and with more than this number of people but less than this number of people. We just add in or, and in any county of the first classification without a charter form of government with more than whatever our population is and but less than.
Well, since we're the smallest first class county in the state of Missouri, why don't you just say any first class county that's not a
yes.
charter form of county government?
Yeah.
That's that would point. Simplify the statute for them incredibly.
Absolutely.
What about Camden County? I mean, I know they have the same kind of a problem probably because of their tourism-oriented area.
They weren't included in that, were they, Camden?
No.
But they
no.
are first class. And they would
yes.
And we may have to you know, they...
Bob, they don't have to do this. I mean, so there wouldn't be any reason...
It's an option. It's an option.
But do you know they themselves got their P&Z changed through a special legislative. So they've got some
They did
rules.
A special P&Z within a certain distance of the lake, one of those guys
right.
up there.
And so they know, and they've got some connections and might be willing to help us.
Larry Dickerson with University Extension out of Columbia was real instrumental and handled that for them, by the way.
Is that the gentleman I visited with up there?
At the Lake of the Ozarks, mm-hmm. yes, sir.
So
I'll have to call you back. Sorry.
Can we agree on that and then adjourn on this issue?
You mean close out this issue?
Well, for today, I mean, until we get some direction from Bob and some other counties contacted.
Well, all I would be doing...
I have a list of seven things that we said that we need to jump through. There's a seven-step process.
And when would there be another meeting when I've redrafted?
I've got that on this, too.
So as long as we have it posted before tomorrow at this time.
Do you need assistance with this project, Bob, is the main question. Do you, with all the things that you've got going on, do you need someone else to take...
I need as much help as I can get at the present time.
Danny, are you volunteering to help?
No, I'm
Counselor
talking about
Paulson?
Legal assistance.
Just to try to keep up.
Okay, I've got this, Bob, what we talked about.
We already have, let me bring to your attention, we already have another attorney that is hired to help with nuisance cases. Could we, at a certain hourly wage.
Do you want to give
Could
him
we up? Set a limit on that hourly wage and have him help in that situation? Would that be okay, Bob?
I don't have a problem with that. I don't know how effective or efficient. I mean, we're going to have to get together to talk about it, but that's not a bad idea. If I need some help on this, I mean, if you want to assign it to him, that's fine with me.
Well, here's a question, though. Before I assign it on an hourly rate, I'd kind of want to know
like the basics.
What this was going to entail, because there's a lot of phone calling and checking and drafting. It could be
that's
15
later.
Hours. So.
That's later, Jim, is what I was saying.
Yeah, I think at this point, Bob gets this, and then we, Bob gets this one, I think. It would be where I would be initially.
Well, there are a number of things that Bob is working on, not the least of which we need to finalize, if I'm not mistaken, an email policy.
Right, I've got one drafted, so.
But we have to do that. And then there was another policy.
Sunshine policy.
Sunshine policy. And we have to work our way through that. You have that drafted as well?
Right.
And
it's posted next week, isn't it?
I don't know when it's posted.
I think it's posted next week.
Well, it has to be Monday or Tuesday, right? No. Getting ahead of myself.
I don't remember exactly what day it's posted. I don't have my computer up.
But you've done the bulk of the work on that already.
Correct.
Okay.
And given us drafts.
Yes.
Okay, well, I think we can conclude this issue because I think we know what the direction we're trying to move to. Things that we have posted this afternoon is personnel. And then I posted something that I can repost.
I'm going to make a motion to post that personnel issue because I don't think that I'm ready for it.
But isn't there another personnel issue?
That's what we have to have is personnel. The question is, do we have any more? Do we see that?
We're going to leave the personnel concerns on there.
We are? Okay.
Yeah, because we've already got some people coming in here, so.
So.
We're going to talk about this in personnel, specifically. We're going to talk about it personnel, then we'll email that.
Alrighty then.
So we get 20 minute break?
We got that.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to have a working lunch.
He showed me on his phone.
And go ahead and go
and
through.
And the 150 I posted, which is the vacant positions, I can repost that.
When you said vacant positions, was that board positions?
No.
No.
Employment positions. That we've got some vacancies in our current staff. Current departments has some vacancies, positions that are funded for 2011 that are vacant right now. And we've got to talk about how we're going to move forward to fill those positions. We really haven't spent any time.
Gentlemen, let's recess till
what?
Till as fast as we can grab a bite in the course of the next 25 or 30 minutes and then come back and go into the personnel meeting that we had posted earlier.
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
We'll stand in recess. I'm going to leave all this here.